Man, the LA city budget cannot catch a break.
We're in a bad financial situation and only getting worse every day with all the police overtime. And so we are continuing on an unsustainable path of expenditures.
Turns out ICE isn't deporting the worst of the worst criminal immigrants, and the effort could be hurting law enforcement elsewhere.
They've taken all of these criminal law enforcement officers off their criminal investigations and moved them over to civil immigration enforcement against people who are not criminals, not public safety threats.
Home prices in Southern California actually came down a little last month, but don't get too excited.
It's still so expensive here. There are markets, in part because of the result of the fire, that are still absolutely seller's markets.
Welcome to the Monday Junior edition of the LA Local for Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, who mindlessly refinanced my house back during the COVID years, and I thank my dumb luck every single day for that. Coming up on today's Local, soon after the city of Los Angeles closed a nearly $1 billion budget deficit, new financial headaches have arisen. ICE is deporting a whole lot of gardeners, day laborers, factory workers, but not a whole lot of criminals. We'll bring you the story of one immigrant mother whisked away by masked men and the worries of her children that are left behind. And Southern California's real estate market is getting weird, man. Let's start with the poor, battered budget of Los Angeles. No sooner did the mayor and the city council close nearly a $1 billion budget gap, which will include sizable layoffs coming later this summer, did all of the ICE activity and resulting protests pop up. All those LAPD riot police ain't working for free. Our man at City Hall, Craig Figner, has the gory details.
Los Angeles was forced to lay off hundreds of city workers, forced to do so to close a projected $1 billion budget deficit. The layoffs come starting next month. And as a result, under the Los Angeles City Charter, because there are layoffs, the city today had to declare a fiscal emergency. Los Angeles Councilmember Bob Blumenfeld says it's bad. Things are bad. But it doesn't mean the city is actually headed towards anything like bankruptcy.
In order to have a budget that is balanced, that relies on layoffs, we have to declare a fiscal emergency. Otherwise, we are not allowed to do the layoffs. If we can't do the layoffs, the budget's not balanced. This is sort of a legal requirement. It doesn't make the fiscal emergency any less real. We're in a bad financial situation and only getting worse every day with all the police overtime. And so we are continuing on an unsustainable path of expenditures.
You said unsustainable. Does LA get to an moment where it can't pay its bills?
Hopefully not.
Los Angeles continues to have this massive problem where it is spending far more money than it's taking in tax revenue. Just in June alone, $32 million going to staff and overtime costs connected to LAPD and its need to manage the sometimes violent crowds that have been protesting the ICE actions that have been taking place across the city of Los Angeles. Add to that the fact that today, the Los Angeles City Council members proactively approved another $17 million in anticipated LAPD overtime for protests that are expected in July.
Just don't say the B word. No bankruptcy here. It'll be really interesting to see how LA manages the budget as we approach the 2028 Olympics. It's going to get messy. Stay tuned. Now, over to our numerous federal friends and their unusual tourism adventures on the streets of Southern California. Turns out that all of the talk out of Donald Trump's mouth about focusing all of the attention on deporting immigrants with criminal convictions held up about as well as his pledge to end the Russia-Ukraine war on day one of his administration. How's that working out? The right-leaning libertarian think tank, the Cato Institute, not known for being squishes on immigration enforcement, crunched the numbers about who's been deported over the last several months. And surprise, surprise, scant numbers of these immigrants that have been chased off, shipped out, have criminal convictions. Our Margaret Carrero talked about it with David Beer. He's a director of immigration studies at Cato.
How many of these people had criminal convictions? And of those, how many of those convictions were for violent crimes?
Yeah, so 65% of the people that ICE has taken into its detention facilities have no criminal conviction of any kind, not even for minor offenses. And 93% had no violent convictions. So less than 7% had violent criminal conviction. You know, the vast majority are not people who have convictions of any kind, and certainly not the violent offenses that we see highlighted so frequently
Recently, the Trump administration has certainly made concerted efforts, certainly within the last month, to really boost deportation numbers. And so when we're talking about what you guys are finding, is ICE finding criminal immigrants with these raids on Home Depots and swap meets and clothing factories like we're seeing?
Not very often. We've seen basically a doubling in the number of arrests of non-criminals since mid-May to early June.
You also found some instances of ICE kind of massaging the data, for instance, labeling immigrants with pending criminal charges as criminals, right?
Yeah, so this is a tactic that ICE does. They arrest people before they have their day in court. They label that person a criminal based on the criminal charge, and then they deport them and say they deported, you know, X number of criminals. This is completely inappropriate on multiple levels. First, it prevents the immigrant from having their day in court. But it also, if they actually did something that's, you know, in violation of the law, it prevents the local government or state government from obtaining justice for the offense that was committed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the big thing, you know, when President Trump was running for re-election was, you know, they're going to go after the worst of the worst criminals, but that's really not what we're seeing, right?
Yeah, so they employ not just the pending charges, but also just lumping together all people with a criminal conviction. And then they say, including murderers and rapists and people who would have been deported under the Biden administration or any other administration, you actually look at the detailed breakdown of what those convictions are for. The most common convictions are for immigration-related violations of status or entry. And then the second is traffic violations. Again, there's no evidence here that their mass deportation agenda here is targeted toward public safety threats. Really, what they're doing in order to get these numbers to such a high level is they've taken all of these criminal law enforcement officers off their criminal investigations and moved them over to civil immigration enforcement against people who are not criminals, not public safety threats. And so 80% of the ATF, who's supposed to be doing gun enforcement in the United States, has been shifted over to doing these ICE raids. DEA, FBI, they're all deploying thousands of agents who are supposed to be doing national security, terrorism, child and sex trafficking cases, and they move them over to do mass deportation. So this is not making the public safer.
Beer also points out that arrests of non-criminal immigrants will also prove damaging for the American economy. So hey, at least we come out on top on that one. I'm getting a word here. No, apparently that's not a good thing. All right, let's take a quick break here to get some business out of the way. And when we return, you'll hear from a heartbroken daughter whose mother, who had lived in the U.S. and raised a family here for 30 years, was snatched up by ICE. And home prices come down in SoCal, kind of, sort of. It's LA Local. Be right back. Thanks for sticking with us on the Tuesday edition of The Local. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. We're hearing more and more of these stories from around our region of families where one member is an undocumented immigrant and they're being ripped apart by the ongoing ICE raids. We're striving to bring as many of these stories to you as we can. A South Central family is speaking out after their mother was detained on Friday. She's a longtime seamstress who's lived in the U.S., paid taxes in the U.S., worked in the U.S., raised a family in the U.S. for over three decades. Natalie Tavidian has more from her daughter, who's pleading for answers.
This is not just my story, though, and this is not just about my family being targeted.
Zulma Zapita says her mother, Guadalupe, came to the U.S. from Guatemala more than 24 years ago in search of a better life, working as a seamstress, raising a family, and living a simple and quiet life in L.A. until last Friday when she was suddenly detained at work.
My mom usually gets out of work at 1:30. My sister was getting ready to go pick her up, and my brother was getting ready to go to work. And next thing you know, we just receive a weird text message from my mom where she sent her text message saying, "They got me, please take care."
Zuma believes it wasn't ICE or police and says it was a group of unidentified people, no names, no badges, detaining her mother and others at their workplace, Peach Love, a clothing manufacturer.
When we received that text from my mom, my brother quickly rushed over to her. He recorded the guys while shouting, "Don't give any information, don't sign anything," while my brother was requesting for them to show their faces, for their badge number, their names. And instead, these people pushed my brother. They had canine dogs surrounding my mom and the rest of her coworkers. And instead of detaining them in a safe spot, they were chased towards the train tracks and they were detained.
For days, she says her family scrambled, calling detention centers, forming group chats with other families whose loved ones were detained the same day and the same way, trying to track where their mothers were taken.
By the moment we found out where our moms were located in downtown LA, this agency was already working on transferring them to a different location.
Eventually, they found Guadalupe at the Adelanto ICE Detention Center. Zulma says her mom might have been bullied into signing deportation papers, and she fears what could happen next. They've now secured an attorney who will see her mom in the coming days, and they're hoping their lawyer can stop the deportation. But Zuma says she mostly fears for those who don't have family to fight for their due process.
It's the inhumanity of all this that's sticking with me, but apparently this is what we voted for. All right, finally tonight, here's something you don't hear very often around here. Average home prices in Southern California declined ever so slightly in the month of May compared to this same time last year. It's a weird time in our real estate market. So our Brian Payne called up Richard Green, head of the USC Lust Center on Real Estate, who told us don't get too hype about falling home prices.
Well, at least they're flat. I mean, there's a lot of noise in data, so I wouldn't say they're falling, but they're certainly not rising. I would characterize them as flat at the moment.
Is this just because it's finally gotten to a point where they're just not buying, the prices are just too high, the mortgages are really high, and it's finally reached a tipping point, you think?
Well, I think there is all of that, but there's also the fact that we don't have job growth here in Los Angeles County anymore. And so there isn't an increase in demand that you normally would see in order to push up house prices.
This has got to be a bellwether, as you mentioned toward the top there, that the economy in Southern California is just not looking great right now because of all the number of factors.
Yeah, no, I think that's the most important thing at the moment for California specifically Southern California relative to other parts of the country. So we see home prices falling in Florida and in Texas, but that's because they've built so much that there's a lot of inventory. We don't have that so much going on here. But on the other hand, we do have, again, a stagnant economy. And at the end of the day, given how expensive it is here, if people don't have good jobs available to them, they're not going to come and buy houses.
And you say there's not a dip yet, but could there be in the near term?
There could be. I mean, one of the questions is what happens to interest rates. On the other hand, there are so few housing starts going on right now here in Southern California that you're not going to have the kind of vacancies that we saw in other parts of the country. So I wouldn't expect to see a big decline like we saw 15 years ago. But I do think more broadly, the economic environment here is not great for a whole host of reasons. And that ultimately has a negative impact on the housing market.
Would you call it a buyer's market yet, or do you still have to wait and see how this plays out longer term?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's still so expensive here, and it also is very submarket specific. So there are markets, in part because of the result of the fire, that are still absolutely seller's markets here. You see stuff selling very quickly, but there are other places where it is going much slower right now. And the key really is to look at, what is the inventory in an area you're thinking about buying? How long is it taking for stuff to sell? And that's what will tell you whether your submarket is more of a buyer market or a seller market.
Thinking within the realm of, the typical would-be home buyer in California, are there any particular places or regions that you know of where they could find a good deal right now?
I think because of interest rates being where they are, it's tough to find what I'll call a really good deal much of anywhere. Particularly the interesting thing that's going on too is rents haven't been going up very much. And one of the reasons to buy a house is to make sure that you don't pay a lot more in rent. That again may change in a couple of years because we're building so little right now. But yeah, good deal. I can't think of a place that I would say is a really good deal yet to buy a house in Southern California.
Sure. And it seems like the mortgage rates aren't really going to come down significantly anytime soon either, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be very surprised. One of the things we're going to have to see is, do these tariffs actually fuel inflation? If they do, then we'll see the long rates, which are what matter to mortgage rates, remain elevated. If we see inflation continue to attenuate, drop into, say, the 1% range the next 6 months, then you might start seeing some relief. But I don't expect that to happen.
Green says a recession is one way to bring down both home prices and interest rates. But that, of course, brings on a whole host of different problems. This has been the LA Local for June 24th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Let's not get all crazy with the talk about home prices going down. Someone, this guy, sell us to sell his home for a profit. Be safe out there, Southern California. See you all tomorrow.